In Shir 21, we are going to begin by examining products that come from forbidden animals. The halacha is clear and fairly straightforward that what comes from a permitted animal is mutter, and what comes from a forbidden animal is usser. The only exception really is honey, as a bee is a forbidden animal, but honey is a permitted product. The Gemara explains that bee body parts are not supposed to be in honey, and if there are some parts that wind up in the honey, they are no sein tam lefgam, they don't add good flavor, they add bad flavor, to the honey itself. Now, if an animal is a trefa, what happens to products that were taken from that animal? So, whatever came from the animal before it was declared treif is from a regular kosher animal, and therefore, all of the products should be okay barring the following. So since we have now established this animal is a trefa, right? We were unaware before shechita that it's a trefa animal, but now we know for sure that it is. We make a distinction between animals born with a trefa and animals where the defect developed later. So if it was born this way, so any milk and the like that comes from the animal, any byproduct is usser. If the defect developed later, so we go back 3 24-hour periods prior to shechita, and any milk or other such products are usser during that time. But anything prior to these 3 24-hour periods is mutter. And the same rules apply to chickens and eggs. And of course, if any of this should be practical on any level, one should seek a rav. Now, even though a chicken, which is a nevela, is more lenient in that the eggs, being that they have been fully formed already, should be okay, Chazal did not allow such eggs to be eaten, since one might make an error to a trefa, where, as we just said, the eggs would be usser. And we know the rule is that when it comes to an Isser D'oraisa, we are Machmir, and by an Isser D'rabbanon, we are Mekel, and such rules would apply here as well, and again, one would seek the guidance of a Rav. If these eggs were taken and cooked, so again, consult with a Rav. Now, if one has a chicken, and you are afraid that it might be a trefa, got sick or something, so we put aside its eggs, and the chicken itself, for a period of time, which is actually for 21 days, and we see if the chicken will resume laying eggs after this time period. Now, based on this, a rav could determine if the chicken is a trefa and what the status of the eggs that have been put aside until now, what the status of those eggs are. One may not sell usser eggs, since the Jew might end up consuming them. In terms of purchasing fish from a non-kosher fish store, so you could look on the OU site or ask a local Rav for more information. Now, although a lot of this information is more on the practical side, and in this series, as I've said many times, we really stay away from practical applications, our purpose here is just to touch on some of these issues, and Bezer Hashem, we will get back to our philosophical and hashkafic examinations of the dietary laws, and we're going to try for that right now as we turn to examining produce for Shratzim. So I would like to read the first part of the chapter verbatim. And he says as follows. Volume 2 of this work deals with laws referring to vegetable food. In this chapter, which links the laws regarding animals as food with those for vegetable foods, we must consider the responsibility which devolves on the Jewish housewife and her conscience to remove Shratzim, insects and worms, from fruit and vegetables which she uses in her household. The importance of this examination of salads, legumes, and fruit for Shratzim cannot be too sufficiently stressed. In the famous work Chaye Adam by Rav Avraham Danzig, which has become a standard work on Jewish law throughout the world, the author stresses this point in his well-known explanation of the confession of sins, which is recited on the Day of Atonement. In this connection, he mentions that there is hardly a Jewish household or a Jewish person who escapes from the infringement of the law of Shratzim, forbidden insects and worms, because they are so frequently found in vegetables and fruits, and very few people show the necessary conscientiousness in examining them thoroughly, and it is just in connection with this kind of prohibited creeping things that the Torah warns us, do not make your soul an abomination through any kind of creeping things, and make not yourself impure through them. It is true that a similar warning is also pronounced with regard to other forbidden animals, but the danger with regard to the latter is not so great, as they are subject to bedika, examination, by the shochet after shechita, and that examination is therefore not left to the Jewish housewife. In a previous chapter, where we dealt with the essence of the prohibition of shiratzim, creeping things, we stressed the fundamental importance of the laws forbidding shiratzim in the system of the Jewish dietary laws. Here we only want to quote two sayings of our sages, which convey their views on the baneful influence of the consumption of shiratzim, forbidden insects, worms, or reptiles, on the character of the Jew and his descendants. In Toras Kohanim, an early commentary on Leviticus, our sages say, Chamurim shiratzim, shekol hamoda b'mitzvas shiratzim, moda b'yitzias mitzrayim, v'chol ha-kofer b'mitzvas shiratzim, kofer b'yitzias mitzrayim. The laws concerning worms and insects are of a very strict nature. Anyone who observes them conscientiously is considered as if he had affirmed and understood the deeper meaning of the Exodus from Egypt for the Jewish people, its history and outlook on life, whereas anyone who neglects and disobeys these laws is considered as having denied the fundamental importance of the Exodus for Jewish life and thought, and indeed the very raison d'etre of the Jewish people. Similarly, the frequent repetition of the prohibition of insects and worms and the solemn warning expressed in the Torah against the infringement of these laws are explained by our sages as the expression of a special responsibility of Jewish parents for the spiritual welfare of their children, lahazir gidolim al hakitanim. Jewish parents, and especially Jewish housewives, are therefore charged with a duty to protect their children from the damaging influence of the consumption of these shiratzim, insects and worms, on their children's character. Okay, so in terms of practically examining fruits and vegetables, the OU has an excellent practical book on this subject. This concludes our discussion of products from forbidden animals and our discussion of shiratzim. And next time we will summarize some of the ideas that we mentioned in relation to meat and meat products.